Okay, we're now going to have the final reading in the book of James. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20.
Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Please leave your Bibles open there at James chapter 5. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us now by your Spirit. Help our hearts to be challenged, encouraged, and guided by your Spirit. Help us to be people who pray to you regularly, who share our lives, our hopes, our dreams, and our struggles with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, some well-known verses you're probably familiar with. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In evangelical denominations like ours, we don't have priests. I am not a priest. Because we have a great high priest. We have Jesus. He is the one that we can speak to any time, day or night. And he speaks directly for us to God the Father. That makes prayer an incredible privilege. One that is exclusively limited to those who trust in God's Son. Sure, anyone can do the act of praying, but only those who pray to God the Father through the Son have that great high priest to intercede for them. Prayer is an incredible privilege. It reminds us who we are as sons and daughters of the living God. And it reminds us who it is who's in control of all things as we share our burdens, our fears, our hopes and our joys with God. But as wonderful as it is to be able to approach God, to speak to God the Father any time we'd like, prayer can also be the cause of a great deal of frustration for those who believe. We've all heard stories about people who have prayed for a miraculous healing and who have received exactly what they've been praying for. As a congregation, we've had prayers like this answered. We've prayed for people who are seriously ill. We've prayed for people in serious situations, and God has answered our prayers exactly the way we wanted him to. We've seen people heal from life-threatening illnesses. We've seen relationships restored, and we've seen people come into a saving relationship with Jesus. But we know this isn't always the case. If you have an active prayer life, if you're someone who prays to the Lord, hopefully you are, then you no doubt have experienced a time when you've prayed earnestly, seriously, with all of your heart for somebody to be healed. for a relationship to be restored. Thinking, believing, being certain that that would be within God's will. But despite the sincerity of your prayers, God hasn't answered those prayers the way that you wanted him to, or in the time frame that you wanted him to. You might have been praying for a relationship to be restored. And you can't see any reason why God wouldn't want that. That surely that's within his will. But despite those genuine and heartfelt prayers for that person or those people, God hasn't answered that prayer the way that you wanted him to. He might be praying for someone to come to saving faith in Jesus. Surely that's a prayer that's within his will. After all, God's word encourages us to do that. But as you pray for that person, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you see no change in their life, it can be really discouraging. And yet, prayer is an incredible privilege. When it feels like our prayers aren't being answered, when we can't understand why God wouldn't want to do exactly what we're asking of him, it can be really discouraging. And sometimes it can make us feel as though there isn't any reason to pray at all, because God's only going to do what he wants to do anyway. And so as we look at these final verses in the book of James, we're going to be reflecting on the question and then later answering it. Do we have the right to expect God to answer our prayers? Do we have the right to expect God to answer our prayers? Anyway, as we work our way towards that answer, to answering that question, there are three main points in this passage that James has for us. And the first point is that God wants us to pray to him no matter what is going on in our lives. As these verses begin, James gives us three scenarios. The first one is of someone who's in trouble. They might be suffering or struggling in some way. The second is someone who's happy. They're full of joy. Everything's going their way. And the third is someone who is seriously ill. And in all three scenarios, James encourages believers to pray. Whether we're going through something that's hard to cope with, or whether we're on cloud nine and everything is going our way, or even if we're seriously ill. Because prayer reminds us who we are in Christ, and it helps us to hold firmly to the hope we have in him. If we're honest, most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us tend to treat our prayer time as an opportunity to ask God for all the things we want him to do. And because of that, we can find it much easier to forget to pray to God when everything's going well. It's easy to remember when we're troubled or when someone we know is unwell or we're unwell. We know we've got a need there. But it's not so easy to pray when everything is going well. We know and believe that God is the one who is in control of all things. And so we know that he's able to take away our troubles and to heal those who are unwell. But we aren't always as good at praying when everything is fine. In verse 13, James says, "Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." There's a few ways you could translate that verse. The word translated praise is extremely closely related to the word psalm. In fact, the King James Version renders this verse, "Is anyone merry? Let him sing psalms." And as we know, a psalm can either be used as a song or a prayer. Or in other words, James is encouraging believers to be prayerful no matter what their circumstances. We're encouraged to pray when we're struggling, so that we can remember to be dependent on the Lord. We're encouraged to pray when everything is going well, so that we don't forget where our blessings are coming from. And we're encouraged to pray when someone is unwell, so that that person might be healed, and to remind us that God alone is the one who is able to heal. God regularly wants to hear from us, no matter what's going on in our lives, because prayer reminds us who we are in Christ, and it helps us to hold firm to the faith that we have in Him. Now, the second point from today's passage is that God hears your prayers just as well as He hears the prayers of any other follower of Jesus. So in these verses, in the first few scenarios, James encourages those who are in trouble and those who are happy to pray as individuals. But when it comes to the one who is ill, they are told to call the elders of the church and have them come and pray over the person who's unwell. Now, when these verses refer to someone who's unwell, this isn't talking about somebody with the sniffles or the flu. This is somebody who is seriously ill. The person is so ill that their illness is keeping them away from the regular gatherings of the congregation. And James is encouraging this person, this ill person, to call for the elders and to ask them to come and pray for them. It is the responsibility of the person who is ill to call for the elders. And the reason for that is it's essential that the person who's asking to be prayed for is to willing and ready to receive these prayers. It is a request of faith, showing their desire to be connected to God's people, the body of Christ. Now, in Scripture, elders is always a plural, because it's God's design for every congregation to have a plurality of elders, men who are set aside to shepherd the congregation together. That's God's design for the church. But in the absence of elders, someone who's seriously ill can call for the pastor or sole elder of that congregation. And the elder or elders are to pray over that person and to anoint them with oil. That's a little bit weird, isn't it? Anointing them with oil. Sounds like a religious ceremony. The oil isn't medicinal, nor does it have any special powers or properties. It's not special holy oil. In fact, we aren't even told what type of oil we're supposed to use, whether it's vegetable oil, canola oil, or 20W50. We don't know. But the reason that James is encouraging the elders to anoint the sick person with oil is to symbolically acknowledge that this person belongs to God. In Scripture, when anyone is ever anointed, they have been set apart for God. Think of David as God's anointed king. He was set apart for the Lord. Jesus as God's anointed. It's a symbolic thing, a symbolic act showing that this person trusts and belongs to Jesus. But why is James encouraging those who are sick to have the elders come and pray for them? Why not just anybody in the congregation? What's going on there? Well, is it because the prayers of the elders are somehow more powerful? God listens to them more? Of course not. It is because the elders are the ones who have been charged with the responsibility of shepherding the congregation. And so when they go and pray for those who are seriously ill, they are not acting in that instance as individuals, but they are representing Christ and the whole body of Christ as they pray and intercede for those who are unwell. Even though their prayers are no more powerful and no more effective than the prayers of anyone else in the congregation. And we see this in verse 16. In the end of verse 16, it says, the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Righteous person, that sounds like a bar way too high for any of us to measure up to, but it's not. A righteous person is somebody who trusts in Jesus, somebody who wants to live for him. We're not righteous in ourselves, but we're made right because of what Jesus has done for us. The righteous person isn't some sort of super Christian. There are no rock stars, so to speak, in the kingdom of God. The righteous are simply believers who are, to the best of their human abilities, seeking to live for Christ. And that's why James mentions Elijah. Elijah could be considered a rock star of the faith. What do you think of when you think of Elijah? Think of amazing miracles that he performed. But like so many who have their stories recorded in the scriptures, it's really easy for us to lift Elijah up on a pedestal and make him more than just a man. But Elijah was a person just like each one of us. He had the same struggles as each one of us. At times, he lost sight of what God had called him to do. And yet God did amazing things, incredible miracles through his prayers. 1 Kings chapter 19. There you can read about how Elijah ran for his life to get away from Ahab instead of trusting the Lord. He took that matter into his own hands and fled for his life. And then when he was out in the wilderness, he gave up on life completely and prayed that God would take his life right there and then. God did amazing things through Elijah, and he answered his prayers in incredible ways. But Elijah was just an ordinary man who was trying to follow the Lord as best as he could. And so what James is saying is that God hears your prayers just as well as he hears the prayers of any other follower of Jesus. There are no rock stars, so to speak, in the kingdom of God. We are all one in Christ, and God hears our prayers equally. Now, final point from today's passage is that God answers the prayers of those who trust in him. Now, I raised the question at the beginning of the message. Do we have the right to expect God to answer our prayers? And that's because some of these verses have been used by Christians to say that we do absolutely have the right to expect God to answer our prayers exactly what we ask for. And some hold to this view because of verse 15. In verse 15, we read, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Verse 15 doesn't give us any reason to expect that God won't answer our prayers, exactly what we're praying for. As long as we've prayed in faith, trusting that the Lord will answer them. And as long as the person has confessed their sins and is no longer living in outward rebellion to him. But that isn't always what we experience, is it? I'm sure we can all recollect times when we've prayed for sick people, we've prayed earnestly, our hearts have yearned for God to heal that person. They get worse rather than better. And it isn't because someone else could have prayed better. We've already looked at that. It isn't because we didn't have faith or didn't trust God enough. You know, the Apostle Paul also struggled with this. He had times when his prayers weren't answered. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Paul told Timothy that he had to leave Trophimus, who was sick in Miletus. Now, it doesn't say that Paul's prayed, but we can assume that Paul would have prayed for Trophimus, and those prayers haven't fully healed him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 27, Paul wrote about wrote that Epaphroditus was so ill that he almost died. Again, we can assume that Paul would have been praying for Epaphroditus, and yet he was close to death. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10, Paul says that he prayed three times to have his own thorn in the flesh. We aren't told exactly what that was, but we believe that it's something like a trial or a temptation that he was struggling with. And even though Paul prayed three times to be relieved of this thorn in the flesh, God didn't answer his prayers in the way that he wanted him to. And Paul had to keep on living with it. And it wasn't just Paul who received a different answer to his prayers than the one that he wanted to. There's no doubt that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying full of faith and he was praying sincerely to God the Father. And yet when Jesus prayed, "Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will," he still had to go to the cross. He still had to submit his will to God the Father. And so when James says that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, he isn't giving us a blank check to enable us to force God's hand. He's simply saying that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, because it often does. Because no one is healed apart from God. Sometimes, for reasons that we can't understand or explain, God chooses to restore the person in the time frame that we want him to, or he doesn't, because he has another plan, a better eternal plan that we can't hope to explain. Prayer is an incredible privilege, and is one that is exclusively given to those with faith in Christ Jesus, because we have a great high priest, the one who paid the price for our sins. He lived the perfectly sinless life that we couldn't live. He died on the cross on our behalf, and he was raised to life again so that we could know that we've been forgiven. And he's brought us into a perfect relationship with God the Father, one that enables us to approach God, approach the throne of grace, any time we want. If we have faith in Jesus, he always hears our prayers. Every time you pray, Jesus speaks to God the Father on your behalf. He is our great high priest. Jesus wants us to share our lives with him. He wants to hear from us whether everything's okay or if we're struggling in one way or another. Jesus hears our prayers just as well as he hears the prayers of anyone else. But sometimes we won't get the answer to that prayer in the time frame that we want, or we won't always get the answer that we want. And sometimes, because of the circumstances, sometimes when we're praying for things that are dear to our heart, things that are grave and serious, the outcome of that can be gut-wrenching. But if we have faith in Jesus, we can't just trust him with the times that he answers our prayers in the way that we want. If we believe that God is good, that he wants what is best for us and knows what is best for us, then we have no choice but to submit our will to his, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. The prayer of someone who trusts in Jesus is powerful and it is effective, even though we won't always see how or why God is answering our prayers the way he answers them. Whether we understand it or not, God hears our prayers and is using our prayers for his eternal purposes as he works all things together for the good of those who love him. Let's pray. Father God, in our busy lives, in our busy world, it can be so easy for us to get caught up in what we're doing. We can so easily forget to set aside the time to sit in your presence and to share our lives with you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that, to set aside time to bring our prayers to you, to tell you about it, how our lives are going, whether they're going well or whether we're struggling. We pray that we would not just be people who come to you when we want something, but that we would come to you and share our lives with you, that we would build on the relationship that you started as you brought us to yourself through your Son. Lord, we thank you that we have a great high priest. We thank you that we can speak to you anytime we want. Lord, we pray that you would help us to take up this wonderful privilege. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.